Welcome to our conversation today. I have the distinct pleasure of interviewing Dr. Kurt Schwieters, who I've known for 21 years. One of the silver linings of the COVID crisis has been that individuals such as Kurt have taken up the mantle and innovated and done different things that they never thought they'd be doing. And in Kurt's case, that's brokering his social media presence to get out accurate information about the COVID virus. Welcome to our conversation, Kurt.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We really appreciate your attempts and your successful attempts to outreach to your patients and community through social media, specifically Facebook. Tell us how you got started in that and what have you learned in the process?
I have dabbled in Facebook, and mostly because my mom would text me about things I needed to see on Facebook.
Isn't that how it happens for everybody?
I know. Your children and your parents lead you. It just so happened that I was home alone and my daughter was in Spain. She was studying in Spain for 2 years. And the news was coming over, the national news of how COVID was hitting in Europe, and really hadn't even been a conversation in the U.S. yet. It hadn't even, you know, the out in Washington hadn't happened. But I, of course, then paid attention, and it was part of her life, so we communicated about this, and it became extremely evident to me that this was going to become a part of our life. And so, you know, in medicine, this happens where if you dive in early and then learn about it as it develops, it's easier than trying to catch up and understand it all. And so I my knowledge base started before it was in the national media here, as this was a very much a part of all life in Madrid. And as it hit the U.S., I realized that the information that was available on the national news was going to become extremely political, and that made me nervous as how the actual medicine or correct advice and so as it is still the mainstay of my group, which I didn't even know what a Facebook group was then, is a reliable update. And the first update was me just sitting down on my laptop while I watched the news, but then intercepted into that my what I knew. And the if you go back, it's basically what I would tell my patients. And that's still exactly what it is. Because every single day, whether you're there for a hurt finger or anything, you talk about COVID. And so it was basically, this is what I'm telling my patients. And it developed from there. You know, obviously, when you look at any median, if there's a video involved, and people can see facial expression and communication in that way, it explodes. And one day, one of the people said, "You should make a video." And I had no idea what that meant. And so they said, "We just hit the record button." And I was actually on call waiting for a CT report to come back, and did a 25-minute thing. And, you know, within hours, thousands of people had seen it. So I recognized. But essentially what it is a way to get reliable information, as I would with a patient on a one-on-one discussion about how to make decisions, is really the idea. It's not what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false, is how can we make this decision in a time when the information is so overwhelming and the spectrum of information is so diverse that people end up being afraid and panicking. And how can you wade through that with some simple tools to, even if you're not talking to a doctor, can make it better for you and your family?
So, I mean, the internet and social media are the first large sources of information with no editor, right? I mean, social, you know, Facebook and others are starting to introduce some of that, but the amount of misinformation and even intentional disinformation that's out there is distressing.
Mm-hmm. The problem is they're starving for a tremendous amount of accurate information, And my temptation is to always be ahead of it. But I've also learned that being ahead of it and it not being good is not a good thing. So, you know, to give them the source of good information. And you will also see that part of my group is a document that it's in a living document that has links to many of the tools we use in Centricare, Centricare Connect, but also the MDH. We have a lot of links for mental health, warm chats for suicide prevention. But the idea was to give somebody a place to go where you're going to get a good access, even if you're not reading a Facebook post. And that's been extremely useful and helpful for people.
I appreciate that, because brokering, it's about trust, and trust is kind of a dangerous word in some ways, but brokering that trust, if they don't have trust, for example, in the state or federal government, but they have a personal relationship with you or other healthcare workers, I think that that's where we can step in to broker that relationship. And that's something that we can do to help the people that particularly are just besieged on the front lines, including yourself. People often ask, what can I do to help the healthcare system? I say, well, listen to the advice of people that you trust.
You're right. And Tom, we initially, when this was gaining steam, I named everybody involved as Team Reliable. And one of the things we can do is help each other. And one of the, you would notice that I have kind of sign off lines based on my messages: be kind, be calm, do your best, do you no harm. A lot of mindfulness, but also proactive things that are easy and hard. But the idea that we are, the way we help each other is by being advocates for this type of thinking, where we verify information before we share it on social media. And we don't share things that are accusatory, or even if you're correct. If part of your message is to, you know, be mean, then that's all that people will hear.
I agree, and I really appreciate your sentiment of trying to minimize the accusation, because if you've got a polarized conversation where people are just throwing barbs at each other, as an example, I got a call from my mother a number of weeks ago and said a couple of her friends are saying that you doctors are diagnosing COVID to make more money. What do you have to say to that? And rather than get angry and take the bait, I did exactly what you talked about, Kurt. I said, What do their friends say that work in their hospital in their community? Well, first of all, it'd be fraud. You could go to jail for doing what you're talking about, and it's not happening. But now, it's easy to say that about some nameless, faceless person in another town, but what about your friends that work at the hospital? And that was actually effective, that you're not, you know, not getting in their face, but asking, just explore a little bit what the thinking is behind what you just said. And that's been generally helpful.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree with, so part of the challenge is when I do something that, let's just say, some of the people and some of the real first people that are online say I do something and it's live. So usually by the time I start an event, there's 100 viewers. So I log on and with 2 or 3 minutes and see it go up. And at about 100, I hit play. And then, you know, by midnight that night, there's 3,000. So part of the discussion is most of these 100 people are people that live in my town or you know, my high school friend. And so it's the connection of them. And those are the people that are interacting. And as you know, Dr. Mary, my wife, and Dr. Joel Dunn in Sauk will come online and they'll take care of the minute-to-minute questions. I trust them both, you know, explicitly with how they are answering the questions. And then I concentrate more on maybe what some of the questions were from last week. But the idea is that some of what's happening is very intimate with people who I already have a relationship with, but also there's people that have no idea who I am. And, you know, everything is important. So, I'm very aware of that, and it doesn't change the message. because I think most people can identify with, he's a small town doctor and he takes care of his community, is really a nice way to think of medicine. Because we know the people that come in the ER, and I know the nurses, and I know the lab techs, and I know, and that, but that same model is expanded to, even if you have no idea who I am, or what CentraCare is.
I agree. I think that authenticity of, you know, you're in the front lines, you're in the trenches, and you have these relationships, it's priceless.
And I spend a lot of time talking about support of our team, because that also is important. As I've said before, in the last 9 months, I've seen more people cry than I have in 21 years. And a lot of them are not my patients. They're our nurses. And it's not because at any single moment it's this unbelievable stress. It's more of the weight of change after change after change. And we, you know, as doctors and other team members, that's a huge opportunity to help somebody who will then help, you know, you take care of them just like you take care of your patients. And not that I'm taking care of them, but we take care of each other, which is a huge part of this, is how to stay connected. My analogy as an aircraft carrier is that we were a very good and large aircraft carrier, and I was on it for 21 years. And then in 2 months, we had to change the entire mission of the aircraft carrier. And then we got good at that. And now we have to do this new mission plus everything else did. And the people on the aircraft carrier they're the ones who are doing it. And it's a lot of hard work to do this, even when things go well. And I think that's one of the other things that comes across, is the discussion about the appreciation for what the patient is going through, but also an engagement with the care team, because I think that is very motivating for people. Understanding how people's choices affect the sick and how they affect the people who are caring for them is very important. If you're saying healthcare workers are heroes and you don't have a mask over your mouth, then that's not an honest discussion.
And that's a great example. You can wear a mask, you can wash your hands, you can social distance, and yet they're one person. And so the fact that you can multiply this message out to a community is huge.
If your intention is to help others, it becomes very simple. And that's one of our problems, is understanding that this doesn't have to be hard.
That's been one of the most distressing things to witness, that wearing a mask is really an act of kindness to others. And yet it's been turned into, in some circles, weakness or a political statement. And that's just not where it comes from.
Exactly. And we've been very, be kind, be grateful, be do your best, do no harm, you know, are some of the things, the mindfulness and the idea that this is an act of caring for your community, and not act of submission or oppression. And even if the science may not be perfect, because if you depend on science, you're going to get arguments. You know, I mean, it's awesome. I'm a scientist. You know, I do. But as soon as I throw a study out there, you know what happens? You know, you get a extreme website response. And so you have to be very careful in my world about how you communicate a recommendation. So again, as I said, I am so proud of what CentraCare has done. And like I tell people, you know, my job is hard, but it's relatively easy because I work in an environment where we're all on the same team. And I go to work and it's about us getting something done. And that is tremendous.
And on that note, let me thank you, Dr. Kurt Schwieters, for your taking the time today and for the amazing gifts you present to your patients and communities. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.